I'm Dr. Leif Tappanilla from the Idaho Museum of Natural History. I'm here with Peter Pruitt from Zoo Idaho. This is The Nature of Idaho. Coming from the 1B, we're talking all about Idaho, its wild places and wild faces, the natural setting that makes Idaho an incredible place to live and be proud of. Well, today our guest is Corey White. He's the owner of the Sand Trap Restaurant here in Pocatello, and he manages the Pocatello Trails Facebook page. We're going to be talking about mountain biking, trails, races, community involvement, economic impact, and hey, Pocatello's got one of the biggest network of trails in the West. This will be fun.
I just started taking up mountain biking.
Oh, you did? Right on.
And the one thing I've learned is you need a good set of brakes.
Really?
Yes.
Because you've been going down hills fast?
Well, I think it's fast. No one else does. And the moment you slam on those brakes, you need to stop.
Well, that's wonderful. I'm really looking forward to talking about biking and being outside and seeing it on two wheels. That's going to be a really good
topic. It's going to be great. Yeah, absolutely.
Why don't you kick us off with some news in nature?
Some news in nature. We've got a woman who was visiting Fox Island in Washington. And she thought it would be a really cool photo opportunity to pick up an octopus and set it on her face.
I think we've all had that thought at one time or other. Like, what would an octopus feel like on my face?
Yeah, absolutely.
So tell us how it happened. What happened?
It didn't turn out very well.
Oh.
Octopus really do not have any bones, but they have a very sharp beak right in the middle of that gelatinous round body of theirs.
Yes, they do.
And it kind of bit into her chin. And the other great part about octopi is that their saliva is kind of venomous, like a Komodo dragon. So she has had prolonged problems with that octopus bite. Swollen chin and neck, difficulty swallowing, all for an Instagram photo.
Well, I don't know if there's a moral to this story. What would you think that is, Peter?
You know, I think we'll do a general moral of the story. Let's just leave nature where it is.
Right. Doing selfies with live animals. I can think of Yellowstone bison.
You don't need a close-up. Not one bit.
Right. Well, so sea life maybe is best left in the sea where it belongs.
Correct.
Well, that brings us, of course, trivia time. Every show we like to ask a question. Maybe our guest will help resolve the question by the end of our time. Our question today, of course, is about mountain biking. How many miles of single-track mountain bike trails are there in Idaho? We're going to talk about biking, and we're going to answer that question for you right after this break.
Get continued access to local news and all the programs you enjoy through the Listen Live link at KISU.org, or try using your web-connected Amazon or Google smart speaker with the command Play KISU.
I want to welcome Corey White. He's the owner of the Sand Trap Restaurant, and he manages the Pocatello Trails Facebook page, and he's an expert on mountain biking in this region. So welcome joining us today on The Nature of Idaho.
Thanks for having me. Pleasure to be here.
Wonderful. Well, so you're into mountain biking. Can I ask you how you got into mountain biking?
You know, when I got out of high school, right when I was starting college, I was pretty overweight. I weighed 300 pounds. I was a big guy. And I needed to start losing that weight. And so I bought myself a bike and really just fell in love with the sport. Lost 120 pounds doing it and changing, you know, my eating habits, some other stuff that goes along with being healthy. And I've just loved it ever since. And that was 15 years ago and haven't slowed down yet.
Where were you living at the time?
Here in Pocatello.
Oh, you were here in Pocatello.
Yeah, born and raised in Pocatello and never knew what gem we had up in the hills until I really started riding my mountain bike and fallen in love with it.
Did a parent get you into it or a friend or something? How did you stumble into it?
My friends had always been into it, and I kind of dabbled a little bit, but it was never really something I fell in love with until I really figured out a few key things: bike maintenance, bike repair, eating better, to really fall in love with it.
Right now, what's your favorite place to ride here in Poca?
You know, I really love City Creek. There's so many trails up there, and we get to ride it about 10 months a year, depending on how the snow and rain is. and it dries out quick. It's beautiful in the spring. It's beautiful in the fall. It's hot in the summer. But I really think that's like one of the gems of Pocatello, to have a 50-mile plus network of trails right outside of our downtown is such a bonus on so many different levels.
You don't have to throw your bikes in the back of the truck or on the bike rack to get to there.
Exactly. Yeah. You can ride your bike right from most people's houses. I live right in the University District, so I just ride up and over Benton, and I'm right there and can get a great two-hour ride in and not have to spend the time going up to Scout Mountain or anywhere else and then finish my day out working.
Is there a big community in Pocatello for mountain biking?
There is. There's a really big community, and it's getting bigger and bigger. When I first started, there was kind of a core group of guys and ladies in town, and it just gets bigger and bigger, and more people are getting into the sport. The equipment's getting a lot more advanced and a lot more cost effective. And so that's kind of growing the sport more and more. And I think that there's more of a trend towards healthy lifestyles than there was in the past 15 years. And so that helps bring people out. And our trail network is just getting better and better, thanks to some of the groups in town that are, you know, improving the trails and making new trails and doing signage, and the use of iPhones and trail forks kind of helps it be more accessible in a way. So you don't feel like you're going out into the mountains. You have a map on your phone and descriptions of what the trails are and where beginners should go or experts should go. So I think that helps out a lot.
I'm approaching half a century old, and I just started mountain biking. When we look at this group, what's the age breakdown on this?
You know, I have friends as old as 74 that ride, and he can still beat me some days. And I have, you know, my sons that are 7 and 9 are really into it right now. And so I think as soon as you can ride a bike, you can start truly using the greenway or a lot of the gravel roads in town. They're perfectly fine for a 5-year-old up to, if you're in good health, 70s, 80s. You know, it really, there's no limit.
With the wide variety of trails, There's a trail that will hit every expert level, you know, your skill level and your health level. So it's easy to pick up, correct?
Exactly. Yeah. There's beginner trails that make it fun for a beginner. And then there's trails, no matter how good you are, that'll still challenge you. And maybe they won't challenge you today, but maybe tomorrow if the rocks moved or the ditch is different, or you can go to the harder stuff where, you know, the top of Scout Mountain is not very easy to get to those towers. So if you want a challenge any day, no matter how big of an expert, you can go right up East Fork to the top of Scout Mountain.
Tell me a little bit about trails and trail maintenance, because my understanding is there's designated trails. There's the possibility of sort of trails that people just make, that sort of thing. I would imagine there's better upkeep on the maintained trails, that sort of thing, and maybe maps. Can you talk a little bit about what goes into, I guess, the trailing?
So, you know, we're really lucky because we have City Creek and it's managed by the city, and we have work crews from the city that are willing to go out and improve the problem areas. And Hannah Sanger's been great on helping us with the water quality issues and getting trails either off the erosion sites or next to the creek, or adding bridges. And the city has been great on going out and getting those grants so we can get those improvements. And then there are different trail user groups, like the Pocatello Pedal Fest used to do a lot of trail maintenance just to get the race course ready, where they're taking care of erosion issues or even weed eating a 14-mile loop up City Creek, which then helps for the next 4 months of not having overgrown vegetation. And East Fork Bikes has started a bi-monthly trail maintenance where they just go up and work on places that either need trees trimmed or cut grasses, or even, you know, fix where the erosion is. The trails up at City Creek have really been well maintained and I think are truly some of the best in the West.
And if someone wants to get involved with the trail maintenance and even creation, they don't necessarily have to be an avid mountain bike rider, correct? They can maybe just go to East Fork and say, hey, I've got a couple kids that really love mountain biking and I want to participate, and this is what I can do. So you don't even have to be an avid biker to really participate.
Because maintaining the trails helps all of us out. It helps the runners out. It helps the hikers out. It helps the mountain bikers, the horse riders. So it truly takes a village. And it's kind of amazing. You know, I've noticed a lot of people will kind of like find that favorite trail that they really like. And then it's like, okay, every year I go up and make sure to trim, you know, Dry Creek up Scout Mountain, or every year I go up and make sure that West Fork is well maintained, or the berms on Over the Top. And it's kind of cool to see that happen. And if anybody's ever interested in becoming more involved, Pocatello Trails has been a great asset, because there's people on there that'll just go in and, you know, make a post that says, hey, I'm going to go for a hike this day, meet me at this trailhead at 9 o'clock. And then they end up becoming their own little group. And then that group ends up going and taking care of the certain trails or letting us know where the issues are. And the Forest Service is great on taking care of where there's issue trails. The BLM is really great, and the city's really great. So we truly have a gem where it is getting a lot of use, but it's not getting overuse and not getting damaged to the point where it's not the same experience.
If one is interested in starting up mountain biking, what bikes, what tools should they kind of move towards?
So the best start is to go into the local bike shops, whether it be East Fork, Berry's, or Oregon Trail Bikes. They're all great shops with great owners and great workers. And don't be intimidated when you walk in there and see the bikes that are $3,000 to $6,000, because truly a beginner bike is perfect for a beginner. I always recommend go with a hardtail mountain bike, get a helmet, gloves, and good tennis shoes, and you're truly ready to go. And eventually, if you're like most people, you fall in love, and then all of a sudden you're like, I need a new bike. Oh, I really want this bike. And then you end up needing a Camelback and a better helmet and better gloves. But you truly, you know, can a beginner can get into the sport for around $500 to $600. I would say not to ride a mountain bike that you get at a local department store up on the trails. But even if you want to find out if you even like mountain biking, those bikes are going to be great for the greenway or gravel roads.
That sounds good. So there's a lot of people that are taking part in this. There's a social aspect, of course, and then there's organizations that are putting on races and that sort of thing. What are available, or what is available for that more competitive side and social aspect to the sport?
So again, with the mountain biking getting more and more popular, the Pocatello Sports Committee, who puts on the marathon in town, came to a group of us last year and said, we want to put on a race, and what is our racing missing? And that would be an ultra, which is we're putting on a 35 mile and a 50 mile race September 21st. That'll start at City Creek, go all the way up to the bottom of Scout Mountain, and then come back through Monument and Midnight Gulch, which kind of encompasses a large array of the trails that we have. And a 50 mile race is definitely one you need to train for and have a little experience racing. And we have a 35 mile option, which is still pretty serious. But that's one way. And if you wanted to get involved and just see what the race scene is kind of about, we'd be happy to have volunteers come up, even if it's just to stand on the course and cheer the racers on. And then for the last 9 years, we had Pocatello Pedal Fest, which was all at City Creek. And that was either a 9 mile course, a 14 mile course, or a 24 mile course. And I'm happy to say that that is coming back next year after a one-year hiatus. And that's more of a cross-country race. So you're timed the whole time you're out on the race course. And then a new scene in the race categories is what's called an enduro. And so an enduro race, you're only timed on your downhill sections. You either are walking or pedaling to those different sections. You're not timed on those sections and you have cutoffs, but the time sections are truly where the racing happens. And that's getting more and more popular. We had 2 great years of that through the Idaho Enduro Series. And next year we'll have a new series coming to town to put that race on. And those dates are still to be determined.
So are these downhill bikes? I think I've heard the downhill bikes are a little bit different than a regular mountain bike. Are they heavier or?
So a true downhill bike is definitely heavier, with 3 times the amount of travel in your suspension. And a lot of the trails that we have around here, truly a downhill bike is definitely overkill. And so the new trend is what's called an all-mountain bike or even an enduro bike. So you've got plenty of suspension, but they're not a big 50-pound bike. They're more of a 35-pound bike. And in those enduros, the guys have to ride those from section to section. So you don't want a 50-pound bike. You want something that's a little bit lighter so you're not so tired when you get to the start of the section and you can't ride. So
what's some of your funnest races that you've competed in?
You know, I've done a 25-hour race before with a partner, and that was really – I mean, it was hard, but it was great, and it was really fun. I do like the longer the distance, the better for me. I feel like I blow up in the first 10 miles and then take 30 miles to recover and have really fun the last 20 miles. But the Pedal Fest is probably my all-time favorite race. I've got great memories of many years of racing, and my boys fallen in love with racing, even though they were just racing around a dirt circle. And I love seeing the community of Pocatello come together for the races and all the volunteers that we have and the people that you would never, they're not mountain bikers, but every year they've shown up and they're so excited and they're so helpful and they're so encouraging. It's just so cool to see that community come together when it, you know, that community was really small, and it just seems like it's growing more and more and more.
Yeah, that's a side of this sport and the resource of our mountains that sometimes I think people don't realize is that it draws people in and has an economic benefit to our region. Could you speak a little to that?
Yeah, and you know, I am pretty partial to the economic benefit because I own the Sand Trap, which is right in between City Creek and Gibson Jack, and so I get a ton of people from all over Idaho Falls, Jackson Hole, Driggs, Salt Lake, Boise that come here specifically to ride our trails. And when they get here, they're going to the bike shops to pick up the tools that they forgot. They're stopping at the gas stations to fill up their cars and get a snack. And they're stopping at my restaurant to have dinner and beers after. And it's great to see them so excited about what Pocatello has. If I had a dollar for every time somebody from Boise said, "Oh, you guys have pine trees in Pocatello?" Yes, we do. Right outside of town, just 5 miles up the road, we've got a forest. Right. You know, like it, right. It just, like, yeah. And I love seeing, you know, I have customers that come into the Sand Trap that are now regular customers that are from Idaho Falls or from Jackson Hole and Driggs because our riding season is so much longer than theirs. You know, we'll probably be riding at City Creek until November. And then once we do get snow, there's so many fat bikers, you can still utilize a lot of the trails up there. And in the Teton Valley, if they get two more rainstorms, they're done for the season. And so that just brings them down and helps out our economy that much more.
Is the spring sort of a delicate season for the trails in terms of maintaining them? And they get muddy during that time period.
You know, they get muddy, and Scout Mountain definitely stays muddier longer, but it's amazing. If we get 2 weeks of non-freezing nights at City Creek, the whole trail system is accessible and not muddy and great dirt and beautiful springtime riding right here in town.
That's wonderful. You know, one of the points of the show when Peter and I started talking about developing Nature of Idaho is you can interact with nature on so many different levels, whether it's you're out there actually looking for birds or looking for animals. But a lot of the time we're doing some other activity that brings us into the mountains, and the mountains become a point of recreation. Could you speak a little bit to, you know, the enjoyment of nature, of that aspect of it, while you're doing this activity that you love?
Yeah, so I absolutely love being so connected to the changing seasons. So you're out there in the spring and you're watching the grasses come up and you're watching the birds come back into the valley and you're seeing the animals emerge from a long winter. And then in summer, you're watching the wildflowers come up and then the changing of our green hills to our burnt yellow hills, but it's such a cool change. And then the fall comes and we have great aspen groves and the changing colors up on the hillsides above City Creek. And then winter comes and it's a whole nother world, and you're in the snow and seeing a different perspective because all the leaves are gone and you're seeing these sight lines and formations of rocks and stuff that you never noticed because they're behind the foliage. And it's always like, I don't know, I think it's good for your mental health to get out, whether you're on a mountain bike or walking or running or, you know, however it is that you get into nature. I think it's such a calming piece that it's important for me, is for my mental health for sure, and my physical health. But I think at this point, I'm so busy, it helps my mental health more than my physical health.
And you mentioned earlier, you know, working with the city of Pocatello and maintaining the trails, figuring out ways to move some of the trails off of some of the streams and the rivers so erosion isn't going directly into these streams. And the trail use is important because you're not out there destroying all of the natural landscape. You're maintaining these trails and you're keeping people in these specific areas, so there is more nature and wildlife to appreciate.
Right, and you're keeping people at a certain area and leaving another area maybe a little less harmed, so their nature can have some reprieve from the human interaction. But there's so much land up Scout Mountain that is hidden, which is great because we have all the trails that kind of feed into different ones. And then you have hillsides and, you know, big canyons that we've never even came into or touched, and kind of leave that for people if you really want to get off the beaten path, that it's still there and kind of untouched.
You know, what I find amazing is you can start whether it's in City Creek or in West Fork, because that those trail systems all kind of connect, and you can spend an entire day in that area mountain biking.
Yeah, and I wish I knew the exact amount of miles that you could hit before you would cross over for a trail. But when the Forest Service allowed us to build the Sterling Justice Trail, which was a 90% user-made trail with the cooperation with the Forest Service, it tied in City Creek to Gibson Jack, which was already tied into West Fork. And then you cross one paved road and you're connected to the whole south side, and which encompasses all of Scout Mountain. So you could ride for days upon days and not cross over on a trail that you've been on in those last 3 days. And I think that that's really something that not many places have, not without going through a neighborhood or a development or a whole town. We have it literally connected right outside of downtown, and you cross one street and you've got hundreds of miles of trails.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. And again, it's in the backyard. It's right there, easy access. I've got a question. So you manage the Pocatello Trails Facebook page. Could you tell us a little bit about what people could find there and how they can connect?
So that started out as a way that we were connecting with people when we were initially building the Sterling Justice Trail, to say, well, we're on the south side of the trail working at this day, or we're on the north side, come up and help us. And it kind of has morphed into a great community page where we have maps at the top of it that have all the trails pinned. We have a lot of people that are going in on and posting beautiful photos of all the wildflowers or the animals. Or this year, for some reason, there's been lots of snakes on the trail. So that's been a hot topic, whether it's, you know, good or bad in somebody's view.
My guess is most of them, or almost all of them, are going to be gopher snakes and not rattlesnakes.
Yes, and that's another contentious. There has been some rattlers, yeah. but lots and lots of snakes this year. But it's been kind of great to see the community come forward. And like when there's a watershed fence build day, that they'll post it on there, and then it just starts that conversation. Or if somebody has seen, like when there was some issues with urban camping up City Creek, and it got kind of the forces all aligned and said, okay, hey, call this person at the city, let them know that what you've seen, and let's get it fixed. I think that page has been great, not only for mountain bikers, but for runners, hikers, horsemen, photographers, people that just really love Pocatello's nature.
Well, so we have this trivia question that's burning a hole. I kind of want to know about this. How many miles of single track mountain bike trails are there in Idaho? Well, we don't have an exact number, but maybe we can get a ballpark on this.
We don't have an exact number, but right around 12,000 miles of single track trails exist in Idaho. And that is, you know, single track. That doesn't include all the double track Jeep trails,
right,
that are there that you are totally allowed to ride your mountain bike on. So that's a pretty high number for our state that is not the biggest, but I'm sure that we'd give all the other states a run for their money having that many miles of single track.
I think a good goal for Corey is to ride all 12,000 plus miles. Goal.
Someday when my kids are in school and I no longer work, I'll get to that goal.
Well, I'm curious, how many miles do you think you put on the bike in a year?
You know, average, I put about 2,500 miles on a bike.
Yeah.
It's been a slow year this year, so I'm only about half. But I do still have 3 months of great riding left. And so my goal is to hit 2,000 this year. And if we don't have a ski season like last year, I'll hit the 2,500 next year again.
I think I've got 15 miles.
You got a ways to go there, people.
I've got a ways to go. Got a ways to go.
Wonderful.
Well, we want to thank Corey White for joining us today to learn a little bit more about his work with mountain biking and the trails. Please visit his website at pokesandtrap.com or the Pocatello Trails Facebook page.
Thanks, guys.
Shows are recorded here at the studios of KISU Pocatello. Visit us at kisu.org for questions, comments, and audio for all our programs. Our theme music is by Idaho's very own Sons of Bannock, and please remember to get outside and enjoy the nature of Idaho.